Today we want to try to do two things, but integrate in integrated fashion. The pin down on the Rabos, on the Makoros for the Rambam of Kesef B'Divrei Sofer after we get through the Shaka V'Tarya. The Rabos Shel Rashi appear in Rashi in Ksuvas on Daf Gimel and Aleph. So again, the Shaka V'Tarya, the Gemara, we're not going to go through the whole sugya of that's a Ksuvas topic. And we don't want to do that, but we do want to talk about Kesef B'Divrei Sofer. So that's Rashi and Ksuvas Gimel Amud Aleph, what he quotes from the Rabosov and his own comments, and of course also Rashi in Hashaleach and Aflamed Gimel in Gittin, and Rabbeinu Gershom in Bava Basra Daf Mem Ches. Okay, that's the sugya of Hu Asa Shaloka Hoga, Nasa Lo Shaloka Hoga, that we've already seen. I mean, the sugya of Taluya Bezav and Zvini Zvini. This language of Rabbeinu Gershom, I think, is very important. And in terms of the Rambam, the big controversy, so it's Aleph base, as we know, and the Ravid, Ramach, the Nosa Kalim, obviously Al Atar, as well as the Rambam in Perek Gimel, Halacha Chaf and Chaf Aleph. Again, there are different nuschos in the Rambam. You can just look at the Shinuya nuschos in the Frankel. You'll see that he worked on this, changed his formulations a couple of times. It's fascinating. Questions whether he was chozer on his original shita, which I don't believe is true, or he was, tinkering with how to formulate it more precisely, which I think is what was going on. But that's part of the controversy. So Gimel Chaf and Chaf Aleph, and the Nosei Kalim, again, the Ravid, the Ramach, the Nosei Kalim there. Also the Tshuva Sorajba, if you get a chance. Chelek Hey Resh Mem Vav weighs in on this. And look, just compare it also to base Resh Lamed, if you get a chance. In terms of the Rambam himself, the Tshuva, I think I said yesterday, was Shin Nun Hey. Anybody check it out? I think it's Shin Nun Hey. That's if I can read my own writing. Either way, the Ramban quotes it, this tshuva, to the Chachmei Lonel. It's Ramban in Sefer Mitzvah Shorish Beis, and the Ramban attacks it, doesn't like it, obviously. Make sure you look again. We talked about it already, but to the Makom HaPatish on that. The Gemara's discussion on Tes Omud Beis about Kesef, Shtar, and Bia, right? The Limud for Kiddushei Bia, and whether or not you would require Kesef and Bia, how would you ever have a Nara, Hamurasa, that whole Shaka V'Tarya, I've already made allusion to it, but I just want to finish with that. So that's part of the Rambam's discussion of why he was Mechalik between Kesef and Shtar. If you want to get a chance also just to look at the Meiri on this whole Rambam issue and his view on Shtar, be worthwhile looking at, but only if you have a chance. The language of the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos, Beis Amud Aleph, Sefer Mitzvos Reishit Gimel, we've talked about it mostly already. The take of Rambam on the Rambam, they ask the Rambam, like, what's your father's view on all this? So it's in Birkas Avram, Simin Mem Dalid. And again, I'm not going to do a whole exhaustive, computer-driven or other-driven or Bikias-driven Divrei Sofrim for now. In other words, where does the Rambam say Divrei Sofrim all over Yad HaChazaka, and what does he mean by that? What I'm going to try to show is that, if that's not the way to resolve this problem, because there are too many clear contradictions, if that's the way you're looking at it. In other words, if the question is, does Divrei Sofrim mean Drabanan, or does it mean Doraisa? The evidence seems pretty compelling that it's Yesh V'Yesh. So obviously that isn't the answer to the question. So, but what I do think, is a good exemplification of what the Rambam's view is in the Rambam Hilchos Shechita. Again, those who dig Suvis, we did this already, but Perek Hey Halacha Aleph through Gimel, and Hilchos Tumas Meis, Perek Dalet Halacha Hey. I think those really are important. Also look at Eidos Yud Gimel Aleph and Ishus Dalet Vav, and we'll try to figure out, again, we'll try to do it quickly, because we've definitely laid the foundations already for it, but definitely as we're discussing Kesef and its Makar, obviously this is a critical aspect of it. Okay. So that is, you know, that I want to try to get it. If we can get that in tomorrow in addition to the rest of the Shaklavataria, that would be great. Obviously, we're not going to finish it all. We'll have to wait some of it while I come back, and I'll give you more Marmokomos before I leave also for some of the side issues in the Sugya as well. So I want to start now. I'm just going to speak a little more about the... I thought I would, you know, diffuse out the Yibam V'Chalitza, but a number of people asked me about it after this year, so maybe it just pays to finish with that now. Since we're not learning Yevamos, but we did spend 45 minutes or so on it the other day, so maybe just to finish up that part of it in the two other places that it comes up. So let's finish up, start with that, and then again, we may have more things to say going forward, but mostly at least to finish up with that. After that, I want to talk about Kicha, the contrast between Vyatza, Chinam, Main Kasef, and Kicha Kicha, and also at the same time try to discharge my Monday obligation, as I said I would, for Parshas Chayisaro, which is right the Parshas HaShavua. So almost criminal to, you know, neglect it since we've already, again, invested already in it. So that'll be it. So I want to do Yibum for a couple of minutes, and then Kicha Kicha, and then get back to the question of Yatzal Chinam Ein Kasef in the Shaklavataria, and, you know, to continue with that tomorrow with the Gemara Rashi Tosas Rambam, and probably we'll add some other things, and the Divrei Sofrim issue. Okay. So just regarding the, just to fill out the Yibum B'Chalitza picture a little bit, we discussed yesterday the Havamina of the Gemara that that there's a, you know, why not learn a Kal V'Chomer here on Gimel Amud Beis, right before we start with the new topic. Why not say Ma Yivam Sheni Yotza Beget Yotza B'Chalitza Zushi Yotza Beget Enudin Shi Yotza B'Chalitza, right? And we turned this into a little bit of a discussion about some of the Yesodos of Yibam V'Chalitza. So the Havamina was that Chalitza could substitute for a get, and what we were trying to show was that that seems to be based on the idea, at least in theory, that, number one, that these are interchangeable things, right? Number one assumption is that it isn't something that is singular or unique, right, to the circumstance of Yibam. There seems to be a lot of evidence, just objective evidence, just structurally, just when you look what Chalitza is, what you say, how it's written in the Torah, and so on, never mind how it's treated, that Chalitza is something very unique to, you know, passing either the option, not doing Yibum, not doing L'Hakim L'Achiv Shem B'Yisrael, ignoring the Zika, ignoring the family obligation, however you want to, the overlapping ways to formulate all that. Obviously, if that were the case, then Chalitza would be, you know, limited only to the circumstance of Zika, the circumstance of Yibum, the Mechayev of Chalitza in the Parsha, right? These are three different things, but overlapping ones, and so on. The fact that we can see the discussion about the possibility of Chalitza elsewhere implies that, A, it's more interchangeable, and it's more generic and more general, or that's at least the discussion. And then, of course, the question also, even if you say that it's generic and interchangeable, right, you still can't ignore the relationship between the source and the application. Right? It still has to fit. If it's going to be a kal v'chomer, then it's really got to be a kal v'chomer. And that becomes very challenging. That's the second point in terms of, you know, normally we encounter in that discussion pirchas, right, all of which are an effort to figure out whether it is kal and chomer. So if we're talking about something like chalitza, so there are two questions to consider. One, the power of chalitza vis-a-vis get, which is a stronger matir, right? That's one way to look at the problem. But seemingly, you would also want to look at, and part of that question itself, of, you know, the relative strength of chalitza and get, is also the question of the relationships that they, you know, the indigenous relationships that they classically, you know, address. So, you know, we're not only talking about you know, the relative power of a get and a chalitza, we're also talking about, seemingly, right, the relative strength of what needs to be undone, namely erusin, maybe even nisuin, as opposed to zika. And that's why we, you know, basically were, you know, that was our basis of our analysis yesterday, right? Number one, is this something very specific to the story of Yibum and Zika and the Hakam Lach of Shem B'Yisrael? Number two, what is really the relative strength of not only Get versus Chalitza, but Zika versus Erusin, or maybe even versus Nisuin? Maybe could Zika be stronger even than Nisuin because it's an Eishes Ach overcome, it's overcoming Eishes Ach and it's still a connection, right? Could it be overcoming Erusin because there already is an Erusin and this is the Gemar part of it, or the Chiyuv? Everything that we discussed, we don't need to review everything. So as part of that, we were discussing, right, the problem of the lav versus the chiyuv misa, right? The skila in the case of erusin, chenek in the case of nisuin, and surely those are very.
The Bnei Yeshua actually points that out.
I'm saying.
Bnei Yeshua points that out. The difference between lav and misa.
He raised it here too.
Yeah.
So Eitan also pointed out to me last, but the Gemara really raises it in a slightly different context, right? And the Bali Tosis really raised it on Yadalid Amud Aleph, which is where we have the parallel. What did Pinesho say about it?
He said he asked why that isn't
a fair question. Why does the Gemara here not ask that question? And do you give an answer? You know, we bring all the family members in today, so.
I got really excited about the question.
Okay, good. So here on Gimel and Beis, he too raises this question. Okay, we'll put Ellie in charge of looking up his answer. I gave a suggested answer, obviously, and we'll see what Tosa says also about this in just a minute. So that is where we were, and then I was trying to put this in context. Well, what's the maskana? In the maskana, we know that there isn't chalitza for Erusin, and there isn't shtar for there isn't get rather for Yibum, and the question is that because even though they are largely interchangeable or similar, you know, for technical reasons it just doesn't work, or the Xeris HaKasu, or is that exactly the point of the Maskan of the Gemara, right? That the dynamic, you know, that is unique to Yibum and Chalitza, or maybe to you know, to Darke, Erusin, Kesef, and Shtar, and Get, you know, are very consistent. In other words, is the Chiluk revolve around, you know, either Xeris HaKasuv or how we look at the strength of Zika versus the strength of Erusin and / Nisuin? Is that what the Gemara changed its mind about? Or the Gemara really made a bigger bout face, basically saying that it's not all about power, and it's not really about interchangeability at all. It's about the special dinim. Now, again, what you say about one discussion in Kavach Omer doesn't have to be the same as another. But you understand the basic idea. Yeah?
In terms of the Havamina and the Kavach Omer,
yeah.
Can we say, based on what we said in the Rambam, the beginning of the year about Erusin, that Zika is stronger because Erusin is a step of the Oser?
Because Erusin is?
It's a step of the Oser. So
well, I don't know whether that makes it weaker, but it certainly makes it different. I mean, Zika might be stronger for that reason, too, because there's no Oser. And even if you weren't to say that there is already, she's already an Arusa, right? And not only, I was saying she's already an Arusa, there's also a Chiyuv to be Gomer, right? Which you don't have in Erusin to Nisuin, although you have that line of the Tashbits, right? You also have the overcoming, the fact that all this despite the Iser Eishes Ach, that could always be looked at in one of two ways. Either that says, but, you know, it's a little begrudging if you take a Dechuya kind of an approach, but there's Eishes Ach, that weakens this. Or what I call the Super Hutra approach, which is that it's despite Eishes Ach, and therefore it's a Kiyum in the same, you know, it shows how strong the chiyuv is, and maybe even turns that into a kiyuv. Now you're saying something additional, and that is that in Erisin, the kinyan is really strong, but it's also an oser. And in Yibum, you know, it's not an oser at all, it's really a matir. I hear that. That's an added element to the other ones that I mentioned. I think it's good. Okay. So, again, we discussed all of these elements. What I wanted to add was two things. Number one, that Tosas here al-Atar on Gimel Amud Beis. Again, there are a lot of Rishonim discuss this, but I just don't want to get too bogged down. But Tosas, even the Maskana, right, Ein Davar Acher Karso, we were talking about, Isaac raised the question, well, what about the Maskana and so on, right? So it's interesting that even the Maskana, Tosas remains like in the mode of Kal and Chomor, you know, power, a power, you know, play, basically, and with the notion of interchangeability. Even the Maskana, could have said that's good for the Maskana. Right, Vim Tomar, Tehe Ama Ivriya, Yotze Bechalitza, Mikal V'chomer Divama. Mehai Kal V'chomer Gufa, Dei Lomar Isha Tochiach, Demal Isha Shekein Eni Yotze Bekesef, Tomar Be'ama. Right? And then he explains, oh, but then you would have had, basically, they, without going into details, the Tosis is weighing Ama Ivriya. Chalitza should work in Ama Ivriya and in Shivcha Knanis, you know, even once we know that it doesn't work in Kiddusha. So to me, that's again a very good example of what I was talking about interchangeability and just, you know, a linear hierarchy and so on. Whereas some of the other Rishonim will just say, like, you know, you just can't even, you know, Mela, you want to ask that, you know, something like Chalitza, you know, can apply, you know, to Kiddushin, all right. But, you know, to Ama Ivriya, and especially Shivcha, you know, Kananis, that already, you know, is, those are probably beyond the realm of regular Ishus, and therefore you would think that that, you know, is not not a relevant consideration. So that's an example of it. And some of the Mepharshim really do say that. They said, just say it's not. And they draw it partially from the Gemara, as we'll see in a moment. So Eitan mentioned to me last time that really, you know, we should look at the, where's Eitan? Is he here? Yeah, there he is. We should really look at the Tosas and Yudalit, because he really asked the question about Lav as well, but and in an interesting way. So just, we should just look very quickly. I was going to leave it for another time, but let's just go very quickly through the, let's take care of the Yibum issues, through two other Gemaras. One is, or two Gemaras on Yud Gimel and Beis to Yudalit and Aleph very quickly, and then the other one on Dalet Amud Beis, which is part of our Shaka Vitaria. So in Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Hayivam Niktas Babia, right? Eitan, since you're, you know, inspired us to finish it up. So on the bottom of the Gemara, so the Gemara says, Babia Minalan. Yeah. So this is the, how do we know that Bia works in Yibo? Okay. So what's fascinating is the next part of the Shaka Vitaria. Again, there are many of these, many more of these, but let's do the local Kedushan ones at least. The Ema, go ahead. What does that mean? The what?
All the regular
Kedushan. Meaning? Kesef, Shtar. So this, of course, again, this is like, you know, the Gemara of Gimel is discussing, you know, what about Chalitza and the interchangeability of chalitza and get. Here we're talking about, what about the interchangeability of bia with kesef and shtar of yibum? Okay, so again, just, you know, before we go any further, right, clearly, the more we play up yibum as a gemar, right, and, you know, kind of a chuppah, or if we focus on it as simply lahakim lahakim shem b'Yisrael, in a more, even in a more pragmatic way, like the direct, the chiyuv, the mitzvah itself, right? So we understand very well why that should be limited to bia. If we see this as a, you know, as something that integrates more into a regular Isha situation, right, then the possibility of kesef and shtar become more pronounced. Again, let's remember our discussion yesterday, the Rashi on the Beis of Aleph and the Rashash, who says, well, even if there, Rashi seems to be saying that even if Kesef and Shtar had been Doraisa, in Yibum it wouldn't be just Erisin, that would be Nesu'in, it would have impact for Yerusha and for Tumah, right? So is that what's going on in the Gemara here too, according to the Rosh Hash? Maybe. Or is that only, you know, in Rashi once we know the Maskana of the Gemara? Hard to know. Hard to know. But either way, all I'm saying is, if you're looking at power, you know, interchangeability and power, then this is a very reasonable Gemara. And if you think that, you know, Yibum works in a different way, then, you know, the dynamic starts to play a role. And then you try to figure out, it is a Gemara, it's not a Gemara. You know, the circumstances are different, but the Zika is even maybe less than, you know, Arusa. Okay? Yeah. So what does the Gemara say? But again, it's interesting that it's a language of Gomrimba, right? Because there is a Zika, so we're not ignoring that. Okay, Tamad Omar. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so here I just wanted to make a Ha'ara in light of what Arya said yesterday, which is the fact that Yibum can be Balkorcha, you know, is it relevant to this whole discussion? And my suggestion was absolutely. You know, we talked about the Meiri, another thing, this for sure, Tziruf. There may even be that this is just a Gemara. We talked about the possibility that Chuppah could be Balkorcha, or if it can't, maybe it's a technicality because of the shame Chuppah, you know, but in theory, in terms of the, you know, A, existence of Tziruf, B, the abeyance of a kind of das lekadesh, you know, which, you know, really should still apply. We talked about the different formulations, right? In the case of a father, the father who, you know, who dies after Erison, before Nesu'in, or he's alive, but he just has the right of all the things that we discussed. So what's fascinating to me is that there are two ways, I think, to read the Gemara, even the Maskana here. One is that there are two different dinim have nothing to do with each other. Namely, one is the Yibma only bia, not kesef and shtar, right? And the second one is balkorcha. But another way to read the Gemara would be that the, you know, Torah's tzura of writing the yibma, right, ends up establishing in one word two dinim, right, balkorcha and no kesef and shtar. And maybe those really aren't. They might have been separated, but they really are conjoined now. They're really two. They're not two dinim, they're two sides of the same coin, right? For the very reason that you don't have kesef v'shtar, the nature of what yibum is, right, you don't have, you do have, rather, balkorcha. And again, this isn't kulas and chumras, it's about the special character or nature of what we are talking about. Okay, so, yeah. Yeah, so let's continue. Go ahead, just quickly, if you don't mind, Eitan. B'chalitza. No, we don't need to do that. Let's skip a little bit over to Ubimisa Sayavam. So what the Mishnah says, our Mishnah says that what? That Misa Sayavam is also going to be Matir, the Isha. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Ubimisa Sayavam, Minoah, Kalachomer, Umat Ishazish, Yibachanek.
Oh, so here, of course, is exactly the issue that we raised, just that we raised it, and Pnei Yehoshua apparently asked it, and Tosas, you know, in his way, asks it, right? Why is that not integrated into discussions of the relationship between chalitza and get, which are not just about chalitza and get, but are also about, by extension, the relationship between Zika and Erison, right? But the Gemara itself does ask this question. This is the point that Eitan was making to me, both on the Tosas and the other. The Gemara does ask this question in context of the relative impact of Misas Hayavam and Misas Habal, right? We're saying Minolon, Kavachomer, right? Ma Ishasishihi Bechenek, meaning what? It's seemingly, it's a stronger relationship, right? Because it's one which the betrayal of which is triggers a chenek, and yet Misas Habal, right, solves that. So Misa Sabal Mati Rasa, go ahead. Yavama Sheep Alav. It's only Shomeris Yavam. Like Holshiket. By the way, Rashi here says, right, quoting the Gemara, Kishemes Hayavam. Nimsa Os Rasama. I'm sorry. Two things. Number one, Shekain Os. What did I want to say here? Oh, I'm sorry. Shehibalav l'shuk lo tia esha. The pasuk, of course, is just interesting. Lo tia esha sameis achutzal l'ishzar. Right. The emphasis is not so much in the pasuk on the betrayal of the yavam. Either it's the betrayal of the esha sameis, or it's just the circumstance of yibam. Right. Again, you could say, well, just because there is no specific yavam yet, or maybe there is, but it's a coincidence. So you can't really focus on the Yavam. It's just the psukim being, you know, as accurate as possible given the ambiguity of the situation. But it's possible, at least, that the Mechayiv of Eishes Ish and of Shomeris Yavam are just fundamentally different, right? Because there is no personal betrayal because the husband is dead. The dead husband is dead. And the there is no designated, and even if there was only one, again, it's yibum and it's l'hakim l'achiv shame. But so it's a betrayal of the ki yeshvu achim yachdav, and of the chiyuv of yibum, but and maybe of the status of zika, which makes any other relationship inappropriate. But it's even in the psukim itself, I'm suggesting perhaps you have already a hint at the fact that we're dealing with a different kind of b'chai. Okay, let's go ahead. Yeah. So again, obviously, these are ways of measuring, right, the strength either of the relationships. Right. We're not talking about substituting now. Before we're talking about substituting Misa Sayavam for Misa Sabal, right? The Gemara is asking about the relationship. I mean, you can't just plug in, you know, a Misa this, Misa that. You have to consider the tokef of the relationship between them, as is reflected by the onus of betrayal. So then the Gemara is saying, well, if you want to go that route, so let's look at the capacity of other things to be matir in that same way, right? As a shiur in the chomer, hayachas. So that's tomer bezusheni yotza beget, right? So then the Gemara says, go ahead, hanami yotza bechalitza. So that's really interesting. It also says, kivin dechalitza b'makom get lo chashiv lo pircha. Ah. So if I had to freeze frame that line in the Gemara, what I would say was, here's the Gemara saying, you know, this isn't all about interchangeability and the relative strength either of the matirim or of the relationship that needs to be matired, it really is acknowledging on some level that there's just a different dynamic, that there's a good reason why get, you know, is the formal way to neutralize regular ishus, and why chalitza is the proper way to neutralize zika. And that isn't kal, and that isn't chamor, that is just... in the nature of these different institutions. Except that, even as the Gemara thinks that, they don't think that necessarily, you know, impacts Misa Sayavam and Misa Sabal. It sounds like they think that, well, when it comes to Misa Sayavam and Misa Sabal, those really are interchangeable, and it's just about the strength of the relationship. Whereas the exit strategies of Chalitza and Shtar, or Chalitza and Get, they are a function of the dynamic. So I think, again, I'm not saying you have to read the Gemara this way, but that to me is the best way to read the Gemara. It's exactly all the issues that we're trying to subtly put our finger on. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Elama l'eshesish. Oh, so Rashi here has a good line. Shekhen osar matira. Shari bala. Go ahead.
Shari bala hu ha'usra. Biga hu matira.
Yeah, very good, right? Even though we're talking about, yeah. So here, does Rashi mean Kiddushi Habal Ka'asrele, like the Svarnu, that like his Erisin is still intact? Or does he just mean that those are that's the mitzius that sets up the zika? We're not saying that the erison of the mace somehow continues. We're saying that the ishus of the mace is the machayev of the zika, but the zika is still something separate. But still, it isn't the misas hayavam. That shouldn't be the mater, because that's not the oser, right? It's the ishus of the mace, not the continuing ishus. I'm saying, is Rashi talking about the continuing ishus of the mace, or is Rashi talking about, hard to know. Okay, but either way, he's struggling with it. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, so what do you make of that? So is that the Gemara's way of saying, well, look at Rashi. Honami kishimes yavam, nimtza osra matira, dilav yavam michimes, habal ishtri love. There's no yavam, right? Then there's no yibam. So is this Rashi? It sounds to me like this is a begrudging Rashi. Meaning Rashi's saying, yeah, we're not really comparing the yavam to the baal, but we are saying that, you know, relative to, you know, it's enough of an oser in the sense that his presence is still a necessary requirement. Whereas one could have read the Gemara saying, what, you think that the mace is the mechayiv, or you think that the zika, right, which is a result of the ishus hames, is mechayiv? No. All that is just another way of saying that the yavam under these conditions is the mechayiv. Now, you can read this Gemara, this line in the Gemara begrudgingly, you know, as a 90-degree turn, or you can read it, you know, more forcefully as a 180-degree turn, depending on how you really understand, you know, how zika and yibam really work. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Oh, so now we get back to our line of the Gemara. This is where it got plucked from, right? Yeah. On my cross, sefer krisa, sefer korsa, and dover achar korsa. Then the Gemara goes in the other way, which is what we were talking about yesterday also. Okay, but if that does that mean that, you know, that ishus is a stronger relationship, exactly the opposite of what we were thinking a second ago, right? That zika is a stronger relationship, right? If that's the case, then you should go the other way, and you should say that get is certainly effective in Yibam. Ute yivama yotza beget mikal v'chomer. Go ahead, Eitan. The kacha ikuva? Okay. The kacha ikuva. Then that's the Gemara's discussion of kacha being ikuva. That's not for now. So the question is in the maskana, once again, is the Gemara saying, you know, one is more kal, one is more chomor, but there's some xeris akasuvs and so on? Or again, is the Gemara's conclusion that it's not kal, it's not chomor, zika is zika, ishus is ishus, get is get, and chalitza is chalitza. Each one is just perfect for its context. And that's what kacha means also, basically. It isn't the xeris akasuv against the grain. It's exactly this conclusion. So this is the issue. If you look at Tosus here, this is, Eitan, go ahead. The top, both Tosus are interesting, especially the top one, because that's really asking the question that we were talking about yesterday. Uteisha sishiotza bechalitza. Right, that's exactly right what we're talking about, right? If it isn't just about the interchangeability, or if the interchangeability of chalitza and get assumes interchangeability in theory, and everything then depends just on either the koach of the matir or the, you know, intensity of the relationship that needs a heter. So then, why here don't we ask the onesh question? Okay, so Tosfos gives an interesting. Again, so my answer yesterday was based on the notion of begida, and then basically what you'd have to say is that you know, how come the Gemara uses it when it comes to Kal and Chomer of the Mises Habal and the Mises Hayava? Okay, so if I wanted to, you know, suggest the answer that I did, what I would say was, because Mises Habal and Mises Hayavam is itself about the Oser and the Mechayiv of the Bailim, And that itself is part of the Megiddo issue. So there, the question of Lav and Chenek are very relevant. That's what they're all about, right? But if you're talking about, you know, the intensity of the Zika or the intensity of the Erusin per se, maybe this isn't relevant. That's kind of what I was saying yesterday, and that's how I would... What do you do with this Gemara? The answer is this Gemara is exactly about that question. Who is the Oser of the Matir? The answer is it the circumstances? Is it the relationship? Is it the Gavra, Yavam, Gavra, Mace, Gavra, Baal? Right? So that actually works very well. Tosus doesn't exactly say that, but they do struggle with this question. Go ahead. Ishlomar. Yeah. So they're basically saying, and then trying to prove it, that when it comes to, if you're talking about interchangeable matirim, they're arguing that it doesn't matter about the intensity of the relationship, or at least the intensity of the relationship is not, as indicated by Chamor and Kalav, the Onesh is irrelevant to the matir. I was saying that too, but I was saying it for a different reason. I was saying because there's another factor here in terms of the Begida or the Oser, and that's really not the relationship, but that particular point. Tosus is saying, no, whenever you talk about, whenever you need a matir, if something is a matir of a minimally effective relationship, so it, per se, the default is that it's interchangeable. That's what Tosus seems to be saying. Right? Go ahead. V'achinami amrina b'ivamos. You give me another example. V'chinachar. Yeah. But that's against the Gemara, because the Gemara did quote in its discussion of Kal v'chomer and Pircha, the Gemara did quote exactly this point. Again, so I have my answer. What's Tosus's answer? Go ahead. Oh my, what is it? My HSE, she misa lo like lo dami. One is an issue of the strength of the or the interchangeability of the matir. He's saying what I'm saying. He's just not explaining it. Why? I'm trying to explain why, and I'm also, you know, suggesting that it's something narrower and more limited. Right? What he's saying is when you want to equate yibum, if you're trying to equate yibum and, or in other words, Zika and Erusin / Nisuin, right? So, you know, which is what you're trying to do when you're trying to figure out whether or not Misas Habal, which works for one, will work for both. So then it's relevant. But if you're trying to interchange two matirim, right, two different matirim, if something is a good mat, you know, we don't know that Misas, you know, Habal, Misas Hayavam works in Yibam. So there we're trying to equate, that's the way Tosa is saying it, we're trying to equate these two institutions. You can't equate them if they have different consequences. But here, we know that there's a matir of Yibam, and we know there's a matir of Get. We now want to know whether it's interchangeable, you know, for other institutions. Very subtle distinction. That's what Tosa is saying. The other Abba, Nomer Ata Lehefech, Hu Adin Es HaChomor, Dein Lechalik Bein LeChomor, Bein Lekal Kini Pirashti. But according to what I'm saying, I just think it's an easier read. So you have to look at the other Rishonim, how they formulate this distinction. What about the next Tosa? Very quickly. Yeah. Yeah, what's Tosa's answer? We can skip till the end for a second. Yeah. Once she's married to him, so then she is an Eishes Ish L'chol HaDvarim and a get works. So since it works there, Afal Pi She'eino Niknes, so she is Niknes Bishtar, and yet it doesn't work to be Matir, the Zika. That's what it is. So that's a very interesting question. To what extent, in general, a Yivama, again, this is not our topic, so, but just to raise the question, you know, the Gemara has it in Yivamos, you know, based on Xeris HaKasuv. Like you might have thought, the Gemara says, that when you implement Yibum, you implement the Zika, the Yavam, let's say, is V'yibma, Ba'aleha, Midaraisa, and she's now his wife. So the Gemara says, you might have thought that you now a get would not work. Kamashmalan, it works. So that's a very important line in the Gemara. Everybody paskins that way, that once Yibum takes place, that, you know, she's Ishto L'chol Adabarim, and a get works. The question is there, the Havamina was, that even after Yibum, even though she then becomes an Eishes Ish, like she's an Eishes Ish L'inyan Misa, and all those things, and all the other things, but there's still a Chalos, Ishus Shel Yibum. Right? So is the Kamash Malan that that's not true, that the once there's real full Yibum, then it switches to any Ishus. Right? Or does it remain Ishus Shel Yibum? This Chalos called Ishus Shel Yibum. The only thing is, it's an Ishus, and therefore it you know, has the din of a get, it has the din of Begida, and so on. Is that just because it's generic, or even though it's not generic, there's still some? So I think that's what this Tosis is a little bit about as well. Okay. Okay, so then finally, just one other thing to add into this little bit of a mix, since we're already doing it, I want to take care of it already, is that's, I hope you've seen it already, is a sugya in Dalet Amud Beis. I alluded to it yesterday. Namely, which line in Dalet Amud Beis? Alex? You see it yet? Avram? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, it'll take us a minute anyway. It'll just be better to do it and get it done. But I alluded to it yesterday. Chaim?
Why?
No, we'll get to that. On Yibum. I want to finish up the Yibum part first. Yeah, the Gemara has on the bottom here, just read it, Alex, very quickly. Right, that's... Ubala.
Ubala, Mlama Shneknes Kubia. Velo Dinu, Umay Bama Shaneknes Kazam Niknes Kubia. Zushneknes Kazam in a Dinshnek.
So, what is all this? We're trying to figure out how do we know Kiddushe Bia, right, for Ishus. Right? So, how do we know Kiddushe Bia for Ishus? So the Gemara says, well, what do you need a limud for? Derive it from. Yibum, right? Ma yibam shein niknas bekesef niknas bebia, zush niknas bekesef in addition shein niknas bebia. So once again, the assumption is that you know that this is all subject to a kal v'chomer, right? And that the in this case not the matirin, but the darkei hakinyan are interchangeable as long as they're strong enough and the kinyan that you're constructing is. You know, doable enough, if you will, right? Okay. So what we're saying is, if it's easier to accomplish Ishus, the Haraya, Kesef and Shtar work, then Yibum, where it doesn't work, then certainly Bia, which works in Yibum, you know, obviously Bia is more effective because it works even in Yibum, and therefore it should certainly work for Ishus. So again, what our rebellion is that, you know, once again. That maybe this has nothing to do with the koach of Bia versus Kesef and Shtar. It has nothing to do with the koach or the intensity of the kinyan of Yibum as opposed to Ishus. It has to do, once again, with either Lahakim La'achiv Shem Bi Yisrael, which is very specific and obviously very Bia-oriented, especially Bia-Rishona-oriented, as the Gemara Nivamos indicates. Or, even if it isn't Lahakim Lahakim Shem Bi Yisrael directly, it's a much more, as we said, right, Ariel's point before, you know, is that the Erison is an Oser, especially for the Rambam, right, is an Oser. So it's particularly appropriate to have Kesef and Shtar. But Yibum is a direct Ishus Halacha, no matter what. Partly because of Lahakim Lachim, but I don't mean Lahakim Lachim just in the narrower meaning of Maisa Bia, Mitzvah Bia, Rishona, and so on, you know, the method. I mean, it's an Ishus Halacha, but of course connected to that idea. Or a third point, and that is if we take the view, you know, that for whatever reason, because of the Erusin of the mace still being there, or because of what Zika is, what you need is a Gemar, or a kind of a Chuppah, right? As opposed to a Kinyan, right? So those are three very good reasons to favor Bia over Kesef and Shtar, and to explain why Dafka Bia and Dafka not Kesef and Shtar. So you're not going to say Erusin, right? Kesef and Shtar works. Let's learn out Bia from Yibum. Okay. So we'll see in a minute. That might be the answer of the Gemara. But the assumption was, no, everything's interchangeable. And that's even buttressed further by the next line of the Gemara. Go ahead. Oh, so the Gemara says, well, it doesn't work that way, because in the hierarchy, in this power struggle, you know, what's more effective, you know, Bia doesn't work in Ama Ivriya. So again, well, all of us, you know, would have, you know, gotten up our hackles on that one and said, Ama Ivriya, this is not Shayach, right? Except that, you know, obviously the Gemara doesn't think that, unless that's the next line of the Gemara, which is, here the Gemara does seem to say it, but Mala Ama Ivriya, Chain Kinyana Lishamishus. That's the Gemara's way of saying, come on, Bia Ama Ivriya is Lo Shayach. Okay? Exactly what I was saying about Chalitza La Ama Ivriya and Shivcha Knanis to answer Tosus on Gimel and Beis. Right, but you know, obviously it's a part of the Shakli. It's a machlokas whether it's part of the whether it's an appropriate part of the Shakli Vitaria here, and therefore you know going forward. Now again, with Ama Ivriya, there is always the issue, of course, that it may turn into a Yiyud, and that's something that we have to talk about. But either way, go ahead. Tomer Bezusha Kinyana L'Shum Ishus, right? Both Erusin and Yibum, but as we'll explain, more Yibum than Erusin at this phase. Correct? Okay, keep going. Talmud Lomar Ba'ala. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, though? Where are you here? Go ahead. V'lam Alekra. What do you mean, Talmud Lomar Ba'ala? That's exactly what we're saying, is that you don't need a Pasuk, right?
Ba'asyala.
We have a good Limud. Meaning we have a Limud from Kesef and Shtar. And we've neutralized the Pircha from Amar Ivriya. Right? Yeah. Go ahead, Omar Avashi. So the Gemara says, and the language of the Gemara here is a little stronger, just from a literary point of view. Oh, meikra dedina pircha, meaning the whole assumption is wrong here, right? Why is the whole assumption wrong? Now, how big is the mistake, right? The answer is because there's this particular affinity of Kiddushei Bia specifically to Yibum, or you might have thought there was, as opposed to Erusin, because Shekain Zakuka V'Omedes. Now again, what's interesting is Lamaskana, right? But Lamaskana, we do have Bia and Erusin. So is that right? Because of based on the other Zerusakasim. So is that a way of saying that, you know, again, had there been no psukim, we would have thought that Erusin is an Oser and Yibum is a Matir, or that Erusin is a Kinyan and it's the first stage, and Yibum is a Gemar in the second stage, or that Erusin is about, you know, Ishus, and Yibum is about Lahakim Lachiv Shem B'Yisrael, and specifically, therefore, about Maisa Bia, or, you know, Erusin, there's no framework, and therefore Bia is just always inappropriate. And Yibum, there's Zika, there's a Tziruf, and therefore there's already a relationship, and therefore it can work. Those are four different points that I just made, for the record. Right? Maybe overlapping, or maybe separate, but they're four different points. So any of those points, or maybe more, could be meant by the words Mali Vama Shekein Zakuka V'Omedes. Right. So I'm just saying two things. Number one, which of those four points is it? But I'm also asking something else, and that is, how important is this Gemara for understanding the relationship between Yibum and Erusin generally? Right? Should you be quoting this Gemara? No, the answer is, it could be very important. But what you might always say if you have trouble with this Gemara, meaning if the overriding evidence, you know, is against this Gemara, What you might say is, yes, that's what the Gemara thought, that the Gemara was trying to explain that you know, if not for the Gzeres HaKasuv, you would have thought that there's a huge dichotomy between Erusin and Yibum. And that's why one has Bia and the other has only Kesef and Shtar. But when the Gemara concludes that there is Kiddush Bia, the Gemara retains, despite the dichotomy, and sees Bia as a kind of Chazaka or as an Erusin or as an Ishus aspect to Erusin, but still the gap is just as big? Or is the Maskana that, no, you know, you might think that Skuka, you know, Vyomedes of Yibum and, you know, Oser, you know, signified by Kesef and Shtar of Erusin, you know, you might think these things are Kirchok Mizrach Mimarav, but you know what? They're bridged. Are they bridged? Maybe they're bridged on both sides. Yibum, you know, isn't just about Lachim Lachim Shem, or isn't just because it's a Gemar, or just because, you know, it's only a Matir, or just because there's a Tziruv. And Erusin, you know, although it does also work with Kesef and Shtar, isn't only an Oser, right? Or isn't, you know, completely separate from the ultimate goal of the Nisuin. In which case, Lamaskana, we still have a different perspective. Anyway, in terms of how the actual Rishonim read this Gemara, look at Rashi. Shekhen Skukav Amedes. Yeah. Oh, so once again, Rashi emphasizes Kiddushei Hametz. Again, does he mean Kiddushei Hametz? Some took it that way, that what he means is that the Erusin belongs, like Svarno, like that the Erusin belongs to the mace. Right? The Ein Bia Ba Ela Ligmor. It's not a substitute for, it's not an Erusin for the Avam in the context of a Zika. It's just a Nisuin because the Erusin part, you know, is carried over from the mace. Aval Kinyan de Mikara Lo. You know, one is Erusin, and this is Nisuin. This is Nisuin because of Kiddushei Hametz. Or does he just mean that the Kiddushei Hametz, right, creates a Zika, you know, and the Zika, not the Kiddushei Hametz, but the Zika is B'makom Erusin. Right? Hard to know. But either way, that he's certainly emphasizing the Gemar part, if you will. Tosus, on the other hand, read the Tosus quickly. Have you seen it? Oh, sorry. Anybody have seen it? I thought everybody was running for the Shagavatari here. So, either way, it's just a better way to get things done. Tosas here say, I'll just read it quickly. Halo ein mo'elos ki kasal inyon kasef. Like, once again, the Bali Tosas tendency is to interchange and equalize everything. Right? So they're saying, you know, halo ein mo'el ki kasal inyon kasef. The Zika isn't helping you to justify. What's that based on? What's that argument based on? Yoni? We're saying Mal Mayi Vam Shekin Skukova Medes, right? So how's Tosis reading it, and what are they asking? Adam? Yeah?
Because once you say it's so much easier to. Once you say that the Skukova Medes makes it easier to be Kohen or Kesef Shorv as well.
Yeah, meaning it's a power game. This is all about how difficult or easy is it to accomplish Yibum, right? And what is a stronger Kenyan? So what we're saying is, oh, you want to examine, you want to say that it's easier to accomplish Yibum, that's why it can take place with Bia, even though Erusin, right, she ain't skook of Yomedes, Bia doesn't work because it's more difficult to accomplish. So this ease of facilitating Yibum didn't help you when it came to Kesef. So why don't you just throw it in the mix and make it the other way? Meaning, you know, even though, you know, Yibum should be easier, you know, it's even more difficult. Varai, that Kesef doesn't work. So the difficult things that are easier, you know, they should really work, Bibia. Right? Kind of a more complex. That's what he's asking. Tomar lo ein mo'elos ki kasal inyan kasef. Then came kolze achnis b'kavachom. Let's throw it all in. You know, we have this a bunch of time. That he, you know, that's why they keep quoting Bava Kama every time. V'nei b'hachi. Mayivama Sha'afal Pishi, he's a kukov yomedes, ain't a niknus bekasa, vin niknus bebia. Right, it's more complicated kavchomer. Isha she'enis kukavi niknes bekasef ena din she'niknes bebia. V'lo yazikla ma she'enis a kuka. Instead of ma she'enis kuka, doesn't have to be a down. It's maybe it can be. We can turn it into a positive. The chiyah gavna tzorach lomer perkeitz al regel. That's how they always. Those is all throughout Shas. Whenever they want to throw these, like throw in the kitchen, you know, sink kavchomers, meaning, you know, it isn't just one issue. It's like, oh, a more complex. Kalin Chamor, so they always quote this Gemara in Ketzer Rego, right? The Boilach Uchei Hasam, Karen Mishalim B'Chatzar Nizak Nezak Shalim B'Kavachomer Deshein V'Rego, and the Hikshuri. We don't have to go through all that. That's above a Kamatop, but it's to show this kind of a Kavachomer really works. What's the answer? V'Nira Lari D'Hachi Parach Shekein Skuka V'Yomedes Lebia. Klomar She'Iker Mitzvasa L'Hakim L'Achiv Shem. No, what they meant was. They're not trying to say Kal and Chamor, but they are trying to say the mitzvah of Yibum is l'hakim l'achiv shem. So the affinity to Bia in particular, you know, is not matched in Erisin. Okay, Hilkach nakel l'hakim b'Bia yoser miisha. We're not making any statements about, you know, the nature of the kinyanim or the tie or the bond. We're talking about something very specific, right? This is a targeted goal of Yibum. It isn't the targeted goal of Erusin. Okay, that's one of the four. Varav Rabbi Lazar mi sons, right? Sansa, probably sons. Pirish shekain skuka v'amedes shebia zu eina osel gomeres kidushe rishon. That's a different shot. He's not targeting the mitzvah anymore. What he's saying is, once again, kind of what Rashi was saying, right? This is a gomer. It's not a konan, right? It's gomeres kidushe rishon. Right, the Ramban also has two deos, slightly different. Did I bring it? I forgot. Oh, I did bring it. Slightly different formulation. First of all, he, instead of gomeres, talks about nisuin, which is interesting. Here on Dalet Amud Beis. Same question. Kashali, Kai Kovachomer Mia Isa, Mayi Babishkain Niknes Bekesef, Afapisha Skuk Viomedes, Niknes Bibia Zusha Niknes Bekesef, Afapisha Enes Kuk Viomedes, and Adisha Tikne. Tomar Mishum de Kesef Akar Kesef Lav Klumu, Alakaman of Dinan Kai Kovachomer, Ma Kesef Shane Gomer Akar Kesef, in the context of Chuppah, right? Vikalame Mar Mali Vamash Kain Skuk Viomedes. Ubiazu osa nisuin, lefika chen kasef koneba she'ena osa nisuin el erusin. B'chol makom tovar bezu she'ena zkuka v'yomedes v'hechik neba bia b'pnei she osa nisuin b'ivamar el erusin utzricha. The chilek is erusin and nisuin. Okay, it's a little bit different. Inam yachi perusha imi yivama gamres shani yivama dizkuka v'yomedes v'lamatzinu bia el bizkuka. Maybe the idea is that there's a mitzarev. Maybe Bia, oh, it's a different, this is one of the four. Maybe the idea is that Bia will never work in a vacuum, right? Maybe it's too risque, right? Too much chutzpah. It's like, you know, Pilegesh, or I'm sorry, it's like Kadesha, whatever it is. But in the context of Zakuka, you know, that's a different story, right? The same reason it could be Bal Karcha might be the reason that it can be Bibia. That's different than the first answer he gave. It's different than... So, okay. As I say, there are different ways. You have to look at the... There are other Rishonim with different formulations here as to what we're emphasizing in Shekein Skuka Be'emedes. It's important for the relationship in general and to the nature in general. I'm just also pointing out that it's according to the view of the Gemara of why you need a Gzeres HaKasuv of Bia. Whether that Gzeres HaKasuv ends up, you know, neutralizing this line, lahalacha, both in terms of Erusin and Yibum, or at least one or the other, remains an open question. Okay, so now let's go back to Kicha Kicha and V'yatzachinam and Kasef. Azriel, you want to just, I know we read it yesterday, just let's start it again. And then I want to integrate the Parsha stuff very quickly also. Yeah, go ahead. So we're here on Gimel, back in Gimel of the base.
So we cast that Minon. The Sue Hubs not Ab Zach and Vita of the Shah, the cast of Shah of the Minon, the Mikne of the Kasev.
So as we discussed yesterday, right, it's interesting to ask whether or not these two are connected. Right? In other words, the Av being Zakai Bikidusha Bikasev, is that part of the story of the Makar of Kesef from of the Makar and therefore the nature of Kesef? Yeah. Okay, let's continue.
So Amar of Yehuda Amar, Damar Krav Yatzafina Min Kasev, In Kasev led Alanzab, Al Yish Kasev led
Amar. Maniu Av. Okay. The Ema Ledida.
So Haki Ashta, Avia Mekal Kidusha, the Sevas, we've seen that Adila Yishazah.
So what do you think about this Havamina? Again, we have to talk about it more in terms of the relationship of father and daughter, but in terms of Kesef itself, what do you think of the Havamina?
That goes to her.
That he is the one who is Mekadesh her off, but she gets the money.
It would essentially be saying that...
And then the Gemara's Maskarna is that that's not true.
He's essentially more like a Shliach, and he's the one doing the Kiddushin.
Okay. Could be, but in terms of the in terms of what Kesef is, then let's say it this way. Okay, just read another couple of lines. Just Ve'ema Hanimili.
Ve'ema Hanimili. Ketana the Isla Yad the Kavu Kiddushin. Aval Naira the Isla Yad the Kavu Kiddushin. Tarkaji Nafsha V'Tishkol Kasva.
Yeah.
Amarkra Ben Rabbi Savia Kol Shavach Neurim Lavia.
Yeah.
Kalaha Damer of Huna Amarra. Minayin Shmaisa Habas Lav.
I mean, just because you know that he has those rights in certain areas of her life doesn't mean at all. Right? We have to discuss this. Okay. And then the Gemara says, "Zahai v'yatzachinim lachu ba'asa."
Hamibayi la'elik in Titania. Titania v'yatzachinam elu yimei nagrus. In case of elu yimei nagrus, or avina in kain lemakra.
In case of without a yud, my in case of with a yud, in case of bottom zeh. My niu. Okay, so let's just start, and then the Gemara is my drashina. We'll get to all to that. We'll get to all these things, but let's just talk more generally and also. Build up kicha just a little bit more. So what would you say is the difference between, or is there a difference between, we have two makaros now that we know of, right? One is kicha from the Sugya and Daf base, Amud Aleph base on base, right? And now the Gemara is presenting another makar, b'yatzachinam en kesef ladam zel, yesh kesef ladon acher, my niyu, ah. Then later on, the Gemara is going to get back to kiyikach, right? Vitzrach, you have that line? Just so very quickly, we'll just rush ahead for a second. Vitzrach, right? Vitzrach, the Michtav Yatzachinam, Vitzrach, the Michtav Kiyikach, in the middle of Dalin Amud Beis, right? Vitzrach, the Michtav Yatzachinam,
Vitzrach, the Michtav Kiyikach, Yish, Ikas, Rachman, Kiyikach, Abamina Kiddushin, Diyayv, La, Baal, Dida, Habe, Kas, Rachman, Yatzachinam, Shabbat.
What does that mean? Kiddushin diyahiv la baal. What?
It would go to her, so that's the second.
Yeah.
Because of Rahman of Yatzachinam, Ava bina hecha diyava yihi le didei v'kidashto, Ava kiddushin, because of Rahman of kiyika v'lo kisika.
But maybe her, maybe she could be Mekadosh him.
Right.
Ooh. Wow. Right? Yeah. Okay, so I have to get back to that. So it sounds in the Gemara like we need both Makaros. And then the question is, they're both equal Makaros, or there's one Makar and the other one's an adjustment. And as we know, again, I said there's mixed evidence in the Rambam, The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs does quote V'yatza Chinam. The Rambam in Yad HaChazaka quotes Kicha Kicha. The Rambam in Pirshim Shnayis quotes Kicha Kicha. And so on. The Rambam in Tshuva talks about Kicha Kicha, etc. Okay. So just to point out very quickly, what do you think is a more... Or do you think the difference between the... Again, one way to look at it is that there are two makoros. It's a gili milsa, and especially since the Gemara's maskan and dalet amid beis is the itzrich travayu. So both are a makar. One is a makar with the gili milsa, the other. What's the big deal? On the end of the day, the important thing is that we derive from here kesef. Okay. And certainly if you think that kesef, it's an asmachta bialma, and kesef is only drabanon, you know, then the stakes are even lower, right, frankly. And there's not much more that we need to say about it. Except that, as we already noted, the idea of the role that kesef plays, you know, appears to be an elevated role, and you know, we highlighted this right in the first Shakavtarya of the Gemara, right, where the Gemara said that the language of Kinyan is used for kesef. The Rishonim then struggle and say, well, that's only one of three, especially on the continuation of the Gemara Beis Amid Beis, right? Some of them say, well, no, really, all three, you know, Kesef, Shtar, and Bia are all Lashonos of Kinyan. There's another group of Rishonim say, well, two of the three are Lashonos of Kinyan, Kesef and Shtar. Interesting machlokas, whether Bia is a real language of Kinyan, right? And then some Rishonim say, no, the only one really is Kesef. Right. So then you have to say something like what the Gemara says later about the language of Derech for Bia, and that is that even though it's a minority, somehow the outsized role that it plays is very significant. So the issue itself, whether Bia is a Kenyan, whether Shtar is a Lashon Kenyan, or only Kesef is a Lashon Kenyan, is fascinating. But either way, the part I'm trying to make is, and especially with the Meiri, you know, whose emphasis was, you know, well, this is a different kind of a Kenyan Kesef, that's what we're trying to say here, that this Kenyan or Kenyan of this type works here. So all of that seems to be very important, and especially if you hold that the whole thing is only drabanan, or a lesser doraisa, so then in the, you know, it's even more significant in a way that we're giving so much emphasis to it. So it definitely bears at least a little bit of an investigation instead of just saying, well, you know, there are two makoros, it doesn't really matter which one, it's all gili milsa, it's the fact rather than the lima. Oh, so having said that, so let's take a step back for a moment. What do you think is the difference between, conceptually, let's say, in other words, perspective-wise, between saying that the makor is kicha kicha, as opposed to v'yatza chinam pinkasif?
So kicha kicha seems to be a little bit more one based off of the kona, and also more learning at kinyan to kinyan, how the kona actively pursues the thing he's trying to acquire, mm-hmm. while the kyan kicha is more based off of what's it called? Is one more based off of the makna, just with regard to the context of the pasuk, but also with regard
the makna, and what is it for the makna?
The yitzia of the.
The yitzia, it's almost like a compensation in a way. In other words, if you were to take a step back, 100%, I would say the following. I'll just add a little more, but I'm basically just embellishing what you're saying. What's striking about v'yatza chinam? Yeah. What?
I was just going to say, one is that the point you were saying before about, not that you were searching from a course, I could see that going both ways, right? On the one hand, like the fact that we're kind of scrambling, trying to find the right Makor, a few different Makoros, shows that, like, might take away from the significance of the Makor, like, altogether, that, you know, we don't have one. But on the other hand, the fact that, like, there's so much emphasis on it is also significant.
Right.
But also, is the fact that the Desikinam and Kasav is brought up in the context of Shiv Sufo now, or is the, I guess, application of that relevant?
I think so, or at least the context of Amma,
right? Well, right.
And Eved.
Yeah.
So the question is, So this is a tricky thing, as we just had it a little bit, you know, in when we were just summing up our Yibum discussion, and it keeps coming up, right? We're going to get it in terms of, you know, Kinyan Bal Korcha, you know, in both in Ishus and in general, you know, Ketana, you know, and so on, meaning. Amma Ivriya is a tricky application here. Why?
I remember we talked about Shiksa, so now about like the
on the one hand, Well, great. I mean, Sherksus Vionimei has origins there in part in Sukkim and Mishpatim, although some of the Mepharshim try to deny it. Right? And that the fact that they try to deny it, or they deny it, is itself an indication how striking it is. Right? That the dinim of Sherksus Viona come to us from Ama Ivriya and Yiud. Right? So is it like even, or is it, you know, that isn't really the, you know, the meaning of the pasuk? It's like, you know, Yiud is Ishus, and Ishus has Sherksus Viona. Like, is that the way to read the psukim? On the one hand, Ama Ivriya has a connotation of possible, the potential for Yiud, and so on. And that might help in a lot of these issues. We're talking about Chalitza, you know, we're talking about Bia, you know, applying to Ama Ivriya. And then the Gemara itself says, but it's not a Kinyan Shalishus. So, and what do they think a second before? Or what do they think, you know, according, that's Ravashi, I think, when they don't say that, meaning the Parsha of Ama Ivriya is one of potential Ishus. And that is important. That gives us an Ishus orientation. If we ignore that, then on the contrary, it's a Parsha of Avdus, right, an Odo. It's all about real, you know, ownership and obligations, you know, without any of the... Now, there is a Kinyan Iser element still, perhaps, something that Eved Ivriya and Kanani have in common, Ama Ivriya have in common with Ishos. Maybe that's, in addition to the potential Yud aspect, something to think about. But I think that aside, especially we're talking about Yitzias Ama Ivriya, we're talking about two things. We're talking about a context of Avdus. That's the first point we're making, and therefore the Sherksus Viona is related directly to that, the different ways to look at that as well. But here we're talking about not, you know, her status as an Ama Ivriya, but her Yitzia, right, from being an Ama Ivriya when there is no Yiud. Let's not forget that. So the Kesef, that would, there is no Kesef. Yatzachinam Ein Kesef, but it's the Kivasei, right? Ein Kesef L'Odon Zeh, Avol Yesh Kesef L'Odon Acher, Mayniu Ha'av. So, you know, we have to be thinking, you know, that what this means is that theoretically an Ama Ivriya, right, would have to, you know, compensate, you know, the Odon on her way out when she doesn't have a relationship with him. So that seems purely financial. And I say, it's a das makne idea, like the, you know, for him to really be mishachrer her. Again, the halacha, we don't need it, because the shanim, you know, do it on their own. But you might have thought, you know, he's losing out because he doesn't have his worker anymore. You know, he should get some compensation. Pitsuyim, as they say in Hebrew, right? So either as compensation, you know, or as, you know, a kind of das makne, part of the matir, you know, there's money. So that is the paradigm for Kiddushei Kesef, right? Kiddushei Kesef is when she is becoming his wife, there's create, again, we've built a picture, you know, of creation of a chalos, you know, where the, you know, contractual side is also part of the story and is a matir, you know, and an oser that creates a framework for the ishus. What we've been trying to explain is based on, you know, a very heavy emphasis on the limud of ki yikach ish ish. The first words in the parsha of marriage is ki yikach ish isha, and the word kicha is an interchangeable word for marriage. That's not true for Yatzachinam Ein Kasef De Kivasei Ein Kesef Ladon Zev Yesh Kesef Ladon Acher. You're not going to say the Kesef is it's the end of the relationship. It's the Pitsuyim or the Das Makne to make sure that the, you know, that they part company. Right? It's not the, if you were to translate that into Ishus, it's, well, she's giving up her freedom, you know, so, you know, at least she's getting a pruta, you know. Not pochs mi pruta, which is, you know, the makanya nafsha, maybe, you know, gnai hula. But, okay, or if it's his father, because, you know, he's the one, it's even more than that, right? The, you know, v'yatzachina mein kasef, and the father gets it, in the case of katan. So finds from the fact that it's a peculiar that the makar of kiddushei kesef would be the rare case of kiddushei ketana, but it's also kiddushei ketana going to the father. Now you could say, oh, it's a technitz gili milsa, it just shows that there's a kiddushin case, and there's kesef, and maybe he's just like her shliach, you know, and so on. But again, the kivasei is she's leaving, you know, his sovereignty, right? He's losing out, you know, at least regarding Hafaras Nadarin, his control over her. But he's just getting a couple of prutos in his, or pruta, in his bank account. You know, the same way that the Adon, you know, gets a little compensation or a little encouragement to be serious. That's totally different than Kiyikach as the Hagdara of Maisa Kiddushin. We were even saying more. We're saying that Kiddushin, Kiyikach, right, is such a... It's a Chiddush of Matan Torah, Kinyan, right? Hayisha Niknes, the first word of the Masechta. It's connected to the Kesef formulation. But that's why the Rambam likes to say, quotes Kicha Kicha right in the beginning. V'likuchin Elu, right, Mitzvah HaSeishal Torah. We've been saying, not only is it, right, paradigmatic and so on, but in a way, right, our last topic, which was Chalipin, we were arguing that maybe the Rambam doesn't even need to bother to tell you that Chalipin doesn't work in Kiddushin. Right, again, something that the Ran and others kind of ignored. They say, oh, like it's all integrated into what he says in Perakei Halacha Chaf Dalet about Matan Menas L'Hachzir. Right, but really, he doesn't speak about it at all. So I was suggesting, because given his view of Chalipin as a Kinyan Das, and given his view that, you know, Vili Kuchenelu, Kicha, Mitzvah Saseh, that the Maisa Kiddushin, right, is the Hagdara of, I'm sorry, the Kinyan is the Hagdara of the Maisa Kiddushin, isn't just an additional requirement. So if you don't, if you have a Derech HaKinyan, which isn't really a Maisa Kinyan, it's just a Chalos Kinyan or a Das or whatever, that's not going to be enough either. You don't even need to tell us that. It's you've said it by telling us Ki Yikachi Shisha and so on. Right? So in a way, you couldn't have a bigger contrast between Yatzachinam Ein Kasef, you know, Ein Kasef, Lamazel Yesh Kasef, Lando Macher, Mainio, both in terms of what it is and the narrowness of it and who gets it. It's a totally incidental thing. She's Yotze, you know, from the Adon with something else. It's additional extraneous compensation, right? The Kibaset. And she's not even getting it, even though she's the Isha. The father's getting it, right, in the case of Ketan. So all I'm saying is that, you know, we talked about Kicha being a language that the Torah uses with Amram and Yocheved. Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Beis, Maritz Chai is a suggestion for the Rambam in Perek Tes, Hilchos Melachim Halacha Aleph on another Monday, right? The Chidushim of Amram in Halacha. So this idea of Kicha is very, very critical. Indeed, Ki Yikach V'lo Kiti Lakach, as we'll discuss, right, also comes from this pasuk and establishes, you know, an important issue in Ishus about who takes the initiative in terms of the Maisa Kiddushin, the different roles, and so on. All that you have in Kicha Kicha, the impression of V'yatzachina Men Kasef, right, is just totally, totally different. Of course, at the same time, right, there's no Yitzira Sachalos in V'yatzachinam. It's incidental. You know, it's the father. It's compensation. All very, very opposite of Kicha Kicha Misteafra. At the same time, The problem of kicha kicha b'steafron, as we know, is the comparison to sada. Right. So that we have talked about. And do I have a few more minutes? Just to fill in that part of it? Do I?
Yeah.
A couple of minutes. Thank you. Okay. I appreciate it. So let's talk about the what we've talked about already, but just to add a little bit more to the mix in that part of it as well, to build up the kicha part. So this week's parsha, of course, that we read, Parshas Kayisara, really zeroes in on this issue, the story of the parsha of kicha kicha. By the way, I should just mention Agav. I mentioned that the Sfarno sees the whole Avimelech story as Kinyan Chalipin. He also, by the way, thinks that the Mechiras HaBechora, by the way, the Sfarno, is also Kinyan Chalipin. But that's Lushitasa. He likes Chalipin. He sees it in a lot of places. But what's interesting is that the Aruch Chaim in Parshas Chayisara, in Pasuk Tes, commenting on Torah seems to be going Mechira, Nesina, Matana. Like, what is all this? The Aruch Chaim suggests, actually, that the Kicha Kicha Misteyaparon wasn't Kesef. He suggests it was really Chalipin. It's very difficult, in light of our Gemara on Gimel and Aleph, to say there was Chalipin. It makes things a little worse in terms of the questions of the Rishonim. Right? Remember, the Rishonim asked, like, how could Chalipin not work for Kedushin if it's Kicha Kicha Misteyaparon? And Chalipin usually works. So if you remember, the Ravid gave the answer that we're not learning Isha to Sada, we're learning Isha to the Kinyan of Maris HaMachpela. And Maris HaMachpela wasn't Chalipin. Ah. So just you should know, the Aruch Chaim really thinks that the Maris HaMachpela was a Kinyan Chalipin. Or maybe it was both. You have to interpret Isha, the Pachas Isha, Prutal Mekanyan Afsha, you know, even more extraneously, if you say that, meaning that, yeah, it, you know, we're learning out the, you know, the value part of the kesef part, which is like implicit in Chalipin, but not actual Chalipin. He doesn't talk about it one way or another, but he just says, well, but what is fascinating is what he says. Why does he think it's Chalipin? First of all, he thinks it's Chalipin, and therefore he thinks that the Arba Meos, Shekel, Over La Socher, weren't really coins. They were pieces of silver. Based on the Gemara in Bechoros, Naf Nunam and Aleph, because otherwise it would be Eimat Biyandang Dikna Bechalipin. But what's the goal that he's trying to make? This is I will come back to. Number one, that there's no Ona, right? Something we talked about. Chuvas Arif, Rambam, and so on. And number two, the main point is that there should be no error. Why did everybody's wondering, why did Avraham Avinu go to such a lengths, you know, in this transaction? He wanted to make sure it was like absolutely every I, you know, dotted, every T crossed. You know, the lawyers, you know, were signing off on everything, that there can never be an error. He saw this as a legacy purchase. We've talked about it already. I just want to expand on that idea. A legacy transaction. So according to the Aruch Chaim, part of the strategy for that legacy transaction was to eliminate any kind of onah, and to make it a kinyan, part of that is to make it a kinyan chalipin. Okay, that aside. But getting back to our bigger question, kicha kicha b'steafron. So, you know, as we know, this raises certain questions. The world generally sees the kicha kicha b'steafron issue as one which is at best, you know, neutral, meaning we're not comparing Sada and Isha, as we've discussed, right? What we're saying is Xeris HaKosov or Gili Milsa about the Kinyanim that work in one and therefore that happen to work in the other and nothing beyond that. Or, for those who think that Kinyan Kiddushin really is also in some respects, only in some respects, you know, there's an aspect of Nikne, Chefza Nikne, again, the Tashbet, Tosla Rosh, others, you could say that this is part of it. Or, like the Avnei Miluim, as we discussed, right? What you'll say is, based on the discussion of the Sma and the Taz, that even though it's true that we're comparing the Kinyan part to the Sada part, the Kinyan Isha part to the Sada, right, says the Avnei Bilui, we're not comparing Isha and Sada, we're comparing the Kinyan, which itself is of more limited scope and impact because of the Rajba and Bava Medbeis, and maybe the Ran and the Dharam and Daf Lamed, his Das and her Das, because the Kinyan aspect is so much more limited, right? Therefore, that part is really compared to Kinyan Sada. But not because Isha is compared to Sada Chalila, it's the opposite. The Kinyan part is narrow because Isha is not a Sada. But the Kinyan Ishus itself is like a Kinyan Sada. In my own view, as you know, take the same evidence and go in the opposite direction of that. But we already discussed this, the language of the Rishonim and of Gimel, right? What was the original comparison? The Rajba, the Ramban, the other Rishonim, etc. But what I tried to add to the mix was also to suggest that you could go the other way. And I want to just reinforce that a little more. And that is, instead of seeing Karka as something which is either neutral or a Cheftza, and therefore the comparison being one which sheds a certain limited light on the Kinyan, to build up Karka in general, because of Karka li'olam omades, and the idea that you can't really own it, you can only have rights in it. Moreover, Karka belongs to the Rabbonu shel olam, by virtue of the fact, or separate from Kili ha'aretz, certainly Karka in Eretz Yisrael, and as such, both the Chashivus, its enduring character, the fact that it isn't a cheftza, you can't pick it up, you can't do certain things to it, legally you certainly can't, that all of that might make it more of a paradigm in a positive way, right? In the sense that we're talking about another, different kind of enduring, transcendent kind of kesher relationship. But here, also to add, as we did, the idea that it's not just any karka. It's hard to know where to draw the line in this again, but it's karka of Eretz Yisrael, and it's tchilas nachala, the klal Yisrael, ude Eretz Yisrael. I compared it to Tanai Bnei Gadol Bnei Reuven for this reason, but maybe even more so. Moreover, that this is a moreshes to klal Yisrael, right? By yakam Hasadeh, and as such, it's connected to the whole idea of the first, it's really the first, as we'll see in a moment, the first acquisition in Eretz Yisrael, and also one which cements the zugos, the avos and imahos, as a kind of moreshes for Klal Yisrael. In addition to that, there also seem to be in the more mystical sources, Zohar and other Mekubalim, the idea that Maris HaMachpelah is a makom of tefila and of kedusha. When you put all those different things, overlapping things together, so the idea of Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron really emerges as a paradigm in a very different light. So when the Ravid says that kicha kicha doesn't mean a comparison to sada, it means specifically to the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. This is really what we were trying to explain then, but I want to elaborate on that a little bit more fully. Just a couple of minutes. So firstly, the Ibn Ezra is the one who emphasizes that this is the Knias Ma'aras HaMachpelah is something which reflects a mala in Eretz Yisrael, l'chayim u'lemesim, and that it is the beginning of Nachlas Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban, actually, ironically, because the Ramban is very into these issues, as you know, before you have some technical mitzvahs atlias baritz and so on, the Ramban is very big on chibas Eretz Yisrael. But in this particular case, the Ramban attacks the Ibn Ezra and says that really it's only Zera Avram later on that are going to have this kind of relationship with Eretz Yisrael, and that it doesn't really have this kind of status here. But other Akronim, defending the Ibn Ezra from the Ramban, suggests that the language of Achuza in particular established that this was the beginning of Nachala, and that this is what sealed the permanence of Klal Yisrael's relationship with Eretz Yisrael. Medrash Rabbah discusses the fact that B'nai Ches, you know, is mentioned 10 times in the exchange and the formal back and forth between the parties, and that's connected to the Aseres HaDibros. Some of the Achronim suggest that that's because the Maris HaMachpelah was like a linchpin in Nachlas Eretz Yisrael, or some other legacy aspect of Klal Yisrael. And they're not trying to explain Kicha Kicha Mistei Achron, by the way. I'm just trying to build up, in a way, what was going on in the acquisition of Maris HaMachpelah. Indeed, the Ramban says that Dalid Meos Shekel was the going price at that time. So some of the Mefarshim, I saw this in the Rabbi Michal Feinstein has some Ha'aros in Perush Al HaTorah. He says it's very difficult to buy the Ramban's idea that the Maris HaMachpelah cost 400 Sloim Kesef, because we know that later on, when they acquired the Mea Kesita, for Mea Kesita, they seemed to get a much bigger piece of land in Bereishis Lamed Gimel Yates from Ben Chamor Avi Shechem. And unless you say the land in Chevron and the land in there was so much, the Shechem was just totally different values, he thinks it's difficult. What intrigues me is what he suggests, and that is that Dalad Meo Shekel is a halachic price. By which I mean, based on the Psukim in Vayikra, right, Chav Zayin Tez Zayin, that base kur, Zera Seorim, is Nun Kesef, and there were eight kur, so that gets you 400 shkalim. Okay. I just think it's an interesting idea that Avram Avinu paid, according to this, Avram Avinu paid for the Maris HaMachpelah, right, the amount of money, he insisted on paying a halachic amount of money, as if to say this is a halachically charged purchase. The Orach Chaim in Pasuk Gimel, at the beginning of the Parsha, starts off by saying, how come there's so much fuss and fanfare? You just read the Psukim, right? We notice it, right? All the bowing and scraping and repeating and the B'nai Ches with the ten times, as I mentioned previously. Like, you know, what's this all about? It's just the acquisition of a sada. So he says, obviously, the Maris HaMachpelah ain't a rochla. There was something of transcendent value here. Interesting. Later, in Pasuk Zayin, when the Torah says, Vayishtachu, that Avram, you know, kept bowing to the B'nai Ches, so the Ayor Chaim says, you see, they wanted to make of him the Si Elokim Atav V'Sochenu, you know, and he was trying to show that he was like a humble man of the people, like, you know, he was bowing and scraping, you know, to the people. But I thought it's exactly the opposite. I thought that with the change in Avram Avinu's tactics or approach, is Dafka, once they introduce Nasi Elokim Atav V'Sochenu, when they tell him, listen, we perceive you not as a private citizen, but as a, you know, religious figure, you know, representing an ideology and a legacy, that's when he knew that he had to buy it in a way that was not subject to error, maybe to pay not only top dollar, but, you know, halachic dollars, maybe even kinyan chalipin, whatever the case may be. But the point is that the acquisition of Maris HaMachpelah then becomes part of the moreshet of Klal Yisrael, both in terms of kavura and the role of avos and imahos, as well as nachlas Eretz Yisrael, or maybe dafka, the combination of both. Rav Schanfried Fall Hirsch almost says this, again, doesn't say it all the places so clearly, but in one of the places he talks about karka being a transcendent acquisition, because of the fact that it endures and outlasts the person who buys it. But what he adds even more so is that he says, you know, this is really the first real estate acquisition in Eretz Yisrael or anywhere by Klal Yisrael. It's a first. He points out that, you know, people think, you know, the Jews are capitalists and real estate, you know, moguls. He says, but really in Tanakh, you have this deal, and then you have the story in Yirmiyah, you know, right before the Galus. But what I would add is, in both cases, you have like a tremendous emphasis on, you know, the contract being ironclad, that everything being above board, and there's a sense in both cases, again, that it isn't about the particular acquisition, but it's symbolic of the connection and the relationship to legacy, to Moreshet Yisrael. What he also adds, which I think is very, very beautiful, is that it's not just the first acquisition and the of Klal Yisrael and the first acquisition in Eretz Yisrael, but it's an acquisition which is motivated by his love and his regard and his sense of destiny connected with Kvuras Ishta. Meaning, the fact that this is the place where Adam and Chava and then all the Avos subsequently are going to be buried, right, doesn't just make it a real estate deal, and not just even a din of Nachlas Eretz Yisrael, it makes it an expression, he doesn't elaborate this, but I'll say it, of not only Ishus, but of the impact that Ishus has even beyond the grave. Exactly what we were talking about in terms of Chav Lachrini Kurva, right, Kedushas Yisrael, Ishus Yisrael, and Yibum, and so on. So the fact that he buys for Arba Beos Kesef over La Socher with all of the scraping and the bowing, this Ma'aras HaMachpela, so that there will be a place where the, you know, Adam and Chava, you know, Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah will be buried, and that is a legacy to Klal Yisrael, is also, in a way, an Ishus Halacha. So when you consider that, the Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron takes on a completely different meaning and connotation. So what I was going to read, but it's too late, is that in the Zohar, and in other works of Kabbalah as well, there also is this notion that the Ma'aras HaMachpelah is a holy place, that it's a makom of tefillah and kedusha and or, that it's a kind of a pathway to Gan Eden, that it is even, the word Machpelah, according to the Zohar, refers to the fact that like there's a Yerushalayim Shema, whatever it means, Yerushalayim Shemala, Yerushalayim Shemata, which are connected, so the, you know, the Yerushalayim Shemala v'Shemata are connected through somehow the Ma'aras HaMachpelah, or there's a heavenly Ma'aras HaMachpelah and an earthly. I don't know what that means, or, you know, at least I'm not going to try to explain it, but what it definitely establishes is that the Ma'aras HaMachpelah wasn't just a burial place, but it was viewed as some transcendent makom tefillah, pathway to Gan Eden, and so on. And equally important, there are some beautiful lines in the Medrash and in the Zohar about the tekuva yakom hasadeh, about the tekuma that Adam and Chava, the beautiful description of how Adam, you know, meets Avram, you know, when he enters into the Ma'aras HaMachpelah, and, you know, suffers a, like, deep sense of embarrassment by virtue of the fact that, you know, Adam and Chava were chased from Gan Eden, that they basically undercut the potential, human potential, you know, by their chet. And how, you know, the Avram and Sarah, you know, through their activism and dedication and commitment, are the tikkun, if you will, of the chet, you know, of Adam and Chava. So in that sense, too, the knias Ma'aras HaMachpelah, which is to integrate, you know, to reintegrate Adam and Chava together with the Avos, you know, represents a certain religious ideal, right, which is not a small matter. So when we look at all of this, obviously we're mixing a little bit of halacha and a little bit of hashkafa here, but ki yikach ishisha kicha kicha bistei Ephron, in addition to, you know, not implying that, you know, that Ishus is a cheftza or an Isha is a cheftza, in addition to everything else, it's the particular case of Ma'aras HaMachpelah by Yakam Asada and the elevation that takes place by means of this kinyan that, if anything, is the paradigm and the sake as an expression of the Ishus and the devotion of Ishus in particular. So when we look at it that way, the contrast between V'yatzachina Mein Kasev and Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron is indeed why. So what we want to do tomorrow is just pick up on the halachic parts of the sugya and see how the different Rishonim interpret. I want to talk about the role of the father and another possible way to look at Amma. To look at Kiddushei Ketana as his Chalos Kiddushin. We'll continue tomorrow with the Makoros that we gave.